All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess. Nasty Knuckles, what's happening, Nast?
Sleeping? I'm not. You've been yawning. Like, yeah, you act like you're all fresh right now. You've been fucking yawning for the last 10 minutes. Look at you.
Sorry, dude.
It's getting late for you, man.
Yeah,
late,
man.
Late. Hey, listen, are you going to finally make a men's league game this week?
I tried this past Sunday, and you guys canceled the game.
You knew it was canceled. That's why you acted all horny like you wanted to play. Hey, Nas.
Dude, I was excited. I planned the whole Sunday around playing.
Ashley told me you were texting that from your bed, almost asleep, because you knew what was going on.
Man, you got to make those games a little more achievable. 10:50 at night.
That's why we canceled it. Both teams were like, no. We're not doing that. I think the rest of our games, you have zero excuses. They're like at 4:45, 5:30.
All right. I'm there Sunday, man.
You know, oh yeah. Yeah. We'll get
I'll
one.
Be there.
You.
I'll bring the Toby.
You got the Toby and you get just, I think we got your yoga is not translating onto the ice as far as your stamina goes because you're short shift.
It's because I'm back checking so goddamn hard and nasty. Getting low, supporting the defenseman, being available.
Well, you're available, yeah. That's true. All right.
Well, and then I'm gassed, and then I get off. You
know? Dude, the week before when you couldn't come because your knee, we played with eight guys. After our Warriors game, we played at 10 o'clock. We had eight guys. I came off in the first period with 30 seconds to go in the first period. I played the entire first period.
Wow, I don't know how you did that.
Well, I was cruising.
You were?
It was just a cruise.
A little featherweight.
It was like a little couple skate out there. They could have turned a disco ball on, man. I was just fucking, I wasn't pushing that hard. But anyway, almost done a preseason, bro.
Yeah. One more.
One more after
tonight. One more Tilly.
One more, and then they get a week's work in, and I believe Vancouver's coming to town.
Yeah. I'm excited to see the real deal. You know, it's hard to really gauge preseason, but that being said, I think it's been a good showing overall, you know, that maybe not the record, but the energy, you know, the goaltending, defense pairs.
Really. Defense has really looked good. I mean, everyone I think's looked good. You know how it is in preseason. They almost had their full lineup the other night, I feel like, and looked good. Carter was sharp.
Yeah.
The D really look like they look good. And I love Risto back there, man. Like, that guy's got a bit of an edge.
He's tossing
to him.
That body around.
Yeah, it's good to see. And Ellis and Provy look like they've played together, you know, before, and it's just preseason. I'm sure there's gonna be little bit of groin pains maybe here and there. But those two are so good. You know, I don't think there'll be much, but all the D look good together, and everyone's look pretty sharp to me.
Yeah. Yeah. A little piss and vinegar there too, you know, like a little, little energy sticking up for each other.
Yeah. I like
to see right out of the gates. So yeah, I mean, again, preseason is a little bit tough to evaluate overall as a team, but obviously next Friday will be go time. So excited for that. You know, it's been a long time coming, I feel.
It's I'm sure everyone there, management included, is like, okay, let's get this shit going, man.
Yeah, right.
You know, they made a lot of changes, good changes, and they you know, I'm sure everybody's chomping at the bit. So
yeah,
see what happens.
Absolutely. All right, now so let's just jump right into episode 43
with Silky Mitts.
Silky Mitts, Morgan Frost.
Let's do it, baby.
Let's go. Welcome back to another episode of Nasty Knuckles. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Settlemyer. And this week we are very lucky to have our main man, number 48 for the Philadelphia Flyers, Morgan, the silkiest Mitch you've seen, Frost. What's up, Frosty?
How's it going, guys?
Good, buddy. Good, buddy.
Thanks for
hopping on. What's an intro?
Yeah, man. Hey, dude, when you got mitts like those, I got to say it, man. They're silky. As you would say, they're yucky. They're so sick.
You can't teach those.
Oh man.
Trying for years, still not working.
I think Frosty kind of patterns his game after my men's league game. Right? You know, like,
you're a skilled guy.
You gotta keep sending me some clips, Nasty.
Yeah, I sent him a couple clips there. The old with the Toby. We gotta talk to the Frosty man about the Tobies.
Yeah, right. You got the change up too now.
He can play with a broom. It doesn't matter, man.
Are those new blades I saw you guys are using?
Yeah. They're actually really nice, man. I love it, but I'm not someone that should be talking about trying to sell a stick with these hands, but Riley at least played in the NHL.
Well, hardly, but but yeah, it wouldn't be a great gauge of stick feel. But I mean, I actually enjoy it, honestly. Besides the way it looks, it does actually legitimately have a good feel to it. So it'd be interesting. Nice. Guy with actual has good hands. See what they feel.
Aaron Krause sent me a video today. I forgot to tell you, I was with PK Subban. He practiced with.
Oh yeah, did he?
Yeah, I'll send you the video. It's pretty sick, actually.
Cool.
Anyway, back to Frost, man. Frosty, how's camp going, brother? It must be nice to kind of be back to normal a little bit, having a normal camp anyway.
Yeah. It's obviously a grind, but I think, you know, like compared to last year when it was like that shortened camp and there's no preseason games, I don't know if there's really the best way to get everyone ready for the season. So, I wouldn't say training camp's the most enjoyable thing ever, but it's definitely good to get you prepared for the season. It's nice to play some games again. So,
yeah it's a little bit of a grind, isn't it?
Yeah.
And for you too. I mean, after last season, I think you only played two games, and you had a shoulder injury and surgery, I believe. Long off season for you. So you probably had this one circled off. For the last however how many months now. So probably extra exciting for you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that stretch has got to be, even just from the injury, not even, considering the COVID stuff. And then I was in the bubble, but I didn't get in any games. And then
that's right.
Yeah, just even the injury alone, regardless of that stuff, would probably be the longest I've ever gone without playing hockey. I wasn't skating for... because it's like 3.5-4 months. So definitely tough. And then, you can kind of emulate certain things in the summer, but it's never the same as actually playing a game again. So
That's
right. I'd say mixed emotions in terms of being like a little nervous, but also excited. And, I think I'm still kind of trying to get my feet wet again in terms of the game situations, but it's exciting to be playing again. And yeah.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, I'm assuming you had to go to development camp. Again, obviously, you're probably a little bit ahead of that. You probably normally wouldn't have needed that, but maybe it helped with being off for so long anyway, having to, you know, go through that. And, you know, I know it's not real game like situation, but you guys, you're still on the ice and competitive, you know, area of the game.
Yeah. So I came down about a week before development camp and just had a couple skates. And then, yeah, like you said, I mean, I think this was my fourth or fifth development camp, but yeah. It's definitely good just to get back out there and shake the rust off a little. And then we had a little bit of time in between the development camp and rookie camp. And I think, you know, it was probably about a 3-week stretch I just spent here before training camp. And I think it was all really good for me just preparing for the camp for sure.
And a little bit of a personal challenge for you, a little test for you. I mean, having faced that adversity, like you said, you probably haven't gone that long without playing hockey, probably since you started playing hockey. What kind of mindset did you go into the off season after like the bubble and everything? You know, just like and like how your mindset was going to the off season, like physically, but then more mentally, because you know you're a skill guy, and being off that long, not that you're going to get as rusty as I ever was, but you know it's a confidence game, right? So I mean, how do you mentally prepare for the off season mentally?
Yeah. I think the thing in general with the injury was like, you know, everyone was kind of asking me like, how are you feeling? How's the shoulder feeling? All that kind of thing. And, you know, that was whatever. It obviously right after the surgery was tough, but it was healing on its own. I think the mental side was almost tougher than the actual injury side, just because, you know, I was here and I was rehabbing, but I wasn't doing anything and I wasn't really around the team. I was very, very isolated, and especially in the COVID year made it way tougher. Like there wasn't really much I could do. So, you know, it was definitely tough. It was probably like a 2-month stretch. So it was a bit of a dark period for me, just, you know, like I said, cause I was so lonely and I'd never been, you know, restricted from doing activity in my life. I've always been, you know, super active person over different sports. So that was tough. And then, you know, I got back on the ice a little bit at the end of the season, and right when the season ended, I went home. And I think going home and just getting to spend time with my family again and see my friends and, you know, kind of just mentally reset was huge for me. And then, you know, obviously as the shoulder healed, I started to work out and skate again, and everything started to kind of trend this way instead of going down. So the start of it was tough, but after that, it was almost like I was just on an upwards trajectory, and yeah, it was positive from there on out.
Yeah, you look like you definitely look like you put some muscle on since, you know, the last time you were playing. I think that was something you were trying to do, probably.
Yeah, trying to. Fuck, so I'll many
yeah. Riles has some tips.
It's a weight loss tips, man. You're probably hairier than I am, Frosty.
He probably is. Where are you, around 190, 185, 190?
Yeah, 190. The number's 190. I'm trying to stay above it. It's tough. I get grilled about it all the time. But.
Okay.
You are heavier than I am.
He is. Yeah. Riles is lanky and lean.
Oh, yeah.
Tall and lean.
Buck 85, soaking wet.
He played at 220, 225.
No, he was a fat ass.
That's what I was saying. He could give you some tips on gaining some weight.
Yeah, not the right way, man. With your game, you got to, gaining weight is one thing, but being, you know, functional and moving the way you need to move as a hockey player and staying agile and mobile is a whole other thing. So,
it's been nice, though, because for the most part, you know, I'm not really on like a diet. Like I try and eat, you know, as much protein and whatever that I can. But in general, the message to me has always kind of just been like, eat whatever's in front, eat whenever you can. So I'd say I've had more than my fair share of cheat meals.
That's all right.
And what'd you play at last couple of years?
When I first came, I was probably like 182 around there. I would always come into training camp, like low 180s. And then I'd lose like 7-8 pounds throughout
really
camp.
That much.
And then the last year before I was hurt, I probably started at like 187, and then I was moved down to like 183, 184. But this year's been really good. I've been crushing protein shakes, and I think my body's just kind of adjusted to the weight a little bit more. So I haven't really had a problem keeping on 190, which has been nice.
That's good. You know, it's funny. It kind of reminds me, Frosty, another number 48, Danny B. He used to come to camp, bulked up a bit more. He did a lot of strength training. Obviously, things were a lot different back then too. But he would come in and he would start out with like an 82 flex on his sticks because he was stronger. And around January, because he wasn't able to be in the gym as much, and he was like, he felt like he was losing strength, we would start ordering 77 flex on his sticks. I know you're not having to do that, but it was pretty interesting, his thought process behind that. And he could put the puck in the net pretty good. So no one was questioning what he was doing. He wasn't too bad at it.
Yeah.
Mr. Playoffs. But you look really good from what we've seen. Obviously it's preseason and all, but you look really good on the ice. I'm happy to see that and happy for you.
Yep. Keep grinding.
That's it, right? Get better every day. I think that's the key. And obviously at that level, it's all about consistency, right? You got to stay healthy, but you got to perform, right? I mean, there's all these other guys chomping at the bit, so there's never really a day off unless there's a day off.
Right? Yeah, right.
I mean, it's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, I learned that quickly when I came up here. I think when I was in junior, we kind of messed around a little bit, and I don't want to say not take every day seriously, but you know how it is in junior when you're, especially as an older guy, you kind of take your foot off the gas a little. And then, I came here my first year and everyone is just full tilt. And at that point, at that point, it's like obviously completely a job. So,
right.
I learned pretty quickly my rookie year.
And you're still able to put up back-to-back 100-point years, taking a few days off too, right?
Unbelievable.
Not bad.
God, man.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Yeah,
those were the good days.
Yeah. Right?
you got a lot of good days to come, brother.
I was going to ask you, since you brought that up, like your first year pro, you were playing under Scott Gordon. I know he's pretty hard on young guys, especially for guys that he thinks that are maybe shortcutting or not, putting in 120%. Was he pretty good with you about that stuff? I mean, he's pressing on you and you kind of made you realize how much you have to pour into it?
Yeah, definitely. It was definitely an eye-opener for me, just, getting to work with him and then being around so many older guys, because I had been playing with people my age my whole life. So I think there was a lot of good mentors for me that year, whether it be the coaches or even my teammates. So I learned a lot, for sure.
Right on. What would you say like the biggest adjustment for you? I mean, obviously you're playing against men instead of boys. Outside of the size and strength of guys, what was the biggest adjustment for you, being a extremely skilled guy with big point production in junior?
I would probably just say, in general, like the amount of time that you have the puck on your stick. Sometimes in junior you could kind of, and I love to do it, I would hold the puck on my stick and kind of slow things down, and then you can like process stuff and dissect it. And then, when I came to pro, it's like you have the puck on your stick and it's like right off, or you almost need to be making the decision like a step ahead even before you get the puck. So I'd probably say that. And then I used to try some pretty fancy things.
You hear Gordo yelling at you from across the rink?
Yeah, I learned quickly to, maybe pick and choose my spots to do those kind of things, for sure. Not trying to go, through my legs at the blue line or anything like that.
You got to appreciate the balls to try that. But I guess most coaches at that level.
Bench for the next 10 minutes.
You
become the grocery stick, eh, Riggs?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You sit right beside me. Yeah. Oh, yeah. What are you doing here?
Frosty, this summer Chuck made a lot of moves, brought a lot of different, like not a lot of new faces. And obviously, as far as you've been able to tell so far, I know we haven't even started the regular season, but the new guys, they seem to be fitting in really well, like from watching. And again, it's preseason, but they seem to be fitting in pretty good. Does the room seem fairly like comfortable?
yeah, unbelievable from my perspective. I was kind of in and out of the locker room last year, but from what I can tell, everyone's been amazing, and all the new guys have been super welcoming of me personally. Everyone's been really nice, and I think everyone's getting along really well. So
that's awesome.
I think it's going to be a really good dynamic this year, and I think change can be good sometimes. So I think a lot of fresh faces, and I think it kind of adds an extra layer of excitement to not only the guys that are on the team right now, but even those guys that are just coming in and want to prove themselves to the guys that are on the team now. And I think everyone should be excited to watch.
Yeah. I mean, it's the guys, all the new guys seem very excited too, to be here, which they should be. Philadelphia is, obviously one of the best organizations in hockey. Risto must be really happy. Not to shit on Buffalo, but just the shit show that's going on there, which is unfortunate for hockey, getting to come here and play. He's got to be like, wow, this is cool. I don't know if you know him well yet, but I'm sure he's excited like the rest of the guys anyway.
Yeah, I would think so. I think a lot of the guys are excited to have him too. I don't think people like playing against that guy.
Exactly. You want him on your squad.
I played a couple of games against him.
It's not fun, yeah.
No, definitely not.
Yeah, you'll fit right in perfectly.
Yeah, fans in Philadelphia might like this guy. Yeah. I have a feeling they're going to like him.
Yeah.
Well, and I think you could even, in one of those preseason games, the crowd just got so loud when he was hitting guys.
Yeah.
There was one play when he had the puck on his stick, and it was almost like he was inviting the guy to come after him. And then he gets rid of the puck and buries the guy. So,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Flyers fans are going to like that a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But, to Nasty's point there, too, and you kind of echoed it. I think outside of the on-ice play, I think more importantly is the chemistry in the locker room. And I know you weren't in the locker room as much as you normally would be last year, which, from an outsider looking in, it didn't seem like there was a whole lot of chemistry. But, from an outsider now looking into the season, like it's exciting, really. I mean, you add guys on paper that add width and dimension to the team. But to me, it's like more importantly, like there seems to be a nice chemistry going on in the locker room. So,
yeah, all those guys have, so much experience too. So I think, they can pass down any wisdom or, I think it just adds, there's already a really good leadership group here. And I think those guys all just build on it. And they've, they've got so many years combined, between all of them in the NHL. And, like I said, I think there's nothing but positives to come out of that. That can help the young guys for sure.
That's great. Fun to watch. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Everybody's excited. And Frosty, you may not know this, but like in Philadelphia, the Eagles are kind of like, the sport. If they keep losing, everybody's excited about the season anyway for the Flyers. But it's funny, we used to joke around saying, man, it's going to be more watching the Flyers. Yeah. If the Eagles are struggling, we don't want the Eagles to struggle, but they're struggling a little bit right now. Everybody's so fired up anyway around here and for good reason, So, I was going to ask you, how cool was it with, if you want to maybe tell some people that maybe everyone knows, maybe they don't, but about your dad and the job he had, growing up.
Yeah. I love talking about him. I think, whenever he sees that, I mention him, he gets all fired up. So, it was awesome. I think he's the coolest dad ever. He used to, he was the public address announcer for the Leafs, and, so growing up, I think he started the year I was born. So growing up, I would always be around the rink, and he'd take me to the games, and I'd sit in the press box with all the scouts and stuff. And he'd set me up with my own notepad, and I would pretend like I was one of the scouts up there.
That's so rad.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man. Yeah. He would take me, down to the walk by the locker room before the games all the time. And, I got to meet players and, even I remember too, we'd show up pretty early to the games and there was no one in the building. He'd let me go on the mic and,
No way.
Yeah, it was super cool.
Sick.
So I would pretend to announce whoever it was. I think he was my favorite player.
That was your favorite player, right? Yeah, Willie. Yeah.
Riley and I were talking about that. I said, I wonder who his favorite player was being around there, but Riley already knew that.
Thanks, Wikipedia.
Yeah, yeah.
Wellwood or Sundin. Sundin was just he was the man in Toronto.
Right. So. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, getting introduced to that world from that perspective at such a young age. I mean, it had to obviously ingrain hockey into your DNA, and you probably watched it a lot closer than most kids watch it, right? I mean, it's not just like something to just watch on TV. You're actually, like you said, like you're pretending you're a scout. You're kind of like looking at it from a different perspective, which is pretty cool, you know. Most kids don't have that luxury, obviously.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, especially being there and being around the guys sometimes, I think it really, set a standard for me, you know, regardless of whether it was at a young age or not, that, you know, I want to be one of these guys. And I always looked up to them. So I think, you know, I always thank my dad for exposing me to that and, you know, kind of giving me that opportunity. Because I think from then on, I kind of just ran with it. I always joked with him, you know, probably the biggest dream of mine would have been to, you know, make it in the NHL and then play in Toronto. And unfortunately, he's not doing it anymore. But to have him announce,
That'd be rad.
And that would be sick.
Whether it was a goal or starting lineup or whatever. So it's unfortunate that won't happen. But that was always the dream. We always talked about that. So
that's nice. Really cool. I was, so I grew up in North Carolina, Frosty, and my dad was the trainer for the Flyers when I was growing up. So I came up to visit a lot. So it was a little way better for you because hockey, I loved hockey just because my dad worked in it, but I was fortunate enough to get to walk around a locker room and meet all these guys that I end up becoming friends with, you know, years later, Rick Tocchet, you know, Craig Berube and all these guys, Scott Mellenby. And, I can just imagine for you being in the hockey town. I mean, the one of the best places for hockey. And getting to be in there, like so many kids must have been so jealous of you, man.
Yeah,
I mean, what a fuck! I mean, you're walking, you're in the building, you're getting to see the players, you're sitting up there watching the games. I mean, I know because when I would go home, my friends thought I was so cool because you know, I finally when I was, I think I was 16, my dad let me work the third period in Washington on the bench, and I was, you would have thought I was like doing something like so damn big because I was just nervous. I had towels and water bottles in my hand. I was so damn nervous, you know, and some guys wouldn't say anything. They just put their hands up and I didn't know they wanted a towel, you know, and then they turn around and my dad, give me a shot.
What the hell are you doing?
Sorry, man. Sorry. But anyway, I just had, like you said, man, that's so cool that you got to grow up around the game like that, man. That's, couldn't ask for anything better.
Yeah, I used to brag about him more than he would ever know in elementary school and stuff. Like you said, everyone thought it was the coolest thing. So
that's awesome, man.
So I guess it's safe to say that the dream of playing the NHL started as soon as those first experiences happened, right? I mean, you were already in your mind believing you're an NHL player, right? I mean, sounds like that's the natural way it happened.
Yeah. At that point, obviously my head was so big, being around the rink. And, you know, I as I kind of grew older, obviously that was always the goal. But at that point, I was just kind of having fun playing hockey. And then as I got, 13, 14, 15, I started to move up. That's when I started to really take it serious for sure. So
how old were you when you had to leave home to play? Or did you? I know you played 16 Marine.
16, right? So funny story about that. So I was drafted to Sault Ste. Marie, and the year that I got drafted, they had an unbelievable team. They had Nurse, Richie, D'Angelo, all these guys. And then they played Erie, who had McDavid and Strom, DeBrincat.
Yeah.
And they lost in the conference finals to them, but so they were going to lose a bunch of older guys, and I didn't think I was a fourth rounder, and I wasn't really projected to make the team. So I went to the Sioux for training camp with like literally one backpack with my dad, like just enough clothes and my hockey gear, because I was planning on I had like a verbal agreement with a junior A team back home. And anyways, two of the guys that played on the team the year before that were supposed to, or that were going to maybe come back, ended up sticking in pro. And then so sudden, like, they told me I had made the team at the end of camp. And like, I remember I was asking the coach, Drew Bannister, I was like, so can I go home for like a couple of days and like pack all my stuff and hang out with my friends before I have to come back? And he's like, definitely not.
No.
Yeah. So anyways, my dad had his, he had our flights booked home, and it was just kind of like bang, bang like that. He left the next day and I wasn't on the flight with him. And then they ended up shipping all my stuff down. But it was, it happened really fast because I didn't think I was going to play on the team. So,
yeah. With those mitts, you didn't think you were going to make that team?
Not back then. I was probably pushing 140 back then.
Oh, wow. Featherweight.
Hey, listen, you hear something worse?
Featherweight.
But my freshman year of college, I report I'm like 140. Like 140, and I'm playing basketball. These guys. Like,
yeah.
And I could put weight on to save my life. I should have called. I wish I would have known Riley. Of course, he was probably barely born when I was in college. Riggs.
I was getting all jacked up already there. Just pack on the weight.
Already had the creatine going.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, man. That's funny.
Creatine's a game changer.
Yeah. You get all swole up and hold the water. Yeah. Your face is out to here and your neck's out to here.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You got to check Riley's profile pic out on Hockey DB.
Yeah. It was more than creatine going through the old veins then.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Oh man.
So Frosty, we were talking last weekend. I went to a show anyway. UFC. I know you're a big UFC guy. I love UFC also, but I remember I was telling Riles, you said I was one of the top five your favorite fights last weekend, the main event there. I think it was the featherweights, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Ortega Volkanovski.
Yeah.
Oh, it was unreal, man. Holy. Did you see the clips of it?
Like, I saw the clips. Yeah, it was amazing, man.
Ortega's warrior. I don't know how he was still in there. And then, you know, also that one round, too, Ortega had him in, like, full-on guillotine and full-on triangle choke. And Volkanovski was just not tapping it. And then you just get up and start throwing bombs. I'm like, this is insane.
I don't know how they
guys
do it.
A black belt, got a full choke. Yeah, it's crazy.
When did you start? When did you become a fan of UFC? Like, when did you start really watching it?
I would say probably like around 2015-ish. Yeah.
You've been a fan for a while.
Yeah. Now I'm much bigger than I was back then. I know, you know, so much, but I think, you know, obviously my favorite fighter is McGregor, and I think he just kind of took the world by storm when he came on. And that's kind of the same way a lot of people were kind of introduced to the sport was, you know, kind of through him, because you'd see it all on their social media and stuff. And
yeah, he's a genius, that guy.
Yeah, he's a genius.
And he can fight. Yeah. I mean, he's good too. I know
highest paid athlete in the planet last year.
Unbelievable. Yeah, and he'll let you know. Too.
He'll let you know. Yeah. His Lamborghini
makes
yacht.
Me laugh.
Yeah. Yeah. What a legend.
I loved it. One of my favorite ones was when he acted like he wanted to apologize. He goes, I'd just like to take this opportunity to apologize to absolutely fucking nobody. That might have been one of the greatest lines.
Oh, yeah. He's a character.
Exactly. Double champ. That's right. Oh, I love that guy, man. So, you also, you bit of a Steph Curry fan?
Yeah.
Little hoops?
Yeah.
That's my... I actually have I'm actually propped up right now. I'll show you guys on my Curry poster right here. I don't know.
You got it with you. Oh yeah.
There you go.
He's right there. So
were you a little streetballer?
Yeah, I got some handles. Nasty knows I got some handles. I gotta work on the shot a bit, but my handles are there. Sure.
There you go.
Yeah, we played a couple little pickup games before.
Seemed like you'd be a good basketball player.
Yeah. I'm a weird basketball player though. I'm I'll never understand how this works. I'm right-handed, like I'm dribble dominant with my right, but I shoot with my left hand.
Oh no.
Which might make me sound, it might make me sound terrible, but I swear it works. And no, that's just how I've done it. So.
I was saying that because of Ben Simmons, you know, shooting his free throws left-handed. Oh yeah, yeah. Everybody, that's why I said that. That's funny.
I'm a dual threat. I'm a dual threat.
That's right. That's awesome. And a good golfer as well, man. You do it all.
Yeah, sure. I'm trying, working on the golf game for sure. I think I didn't really play much when I was younger, but because I was busy playing whatever, soccer, you know, lacrosse, any of those kind of sports. But now, I think in the summer, it's pretty much workout, skate, golf. That's pretty much my day. So
eat, sleep.
Yeah, it's not a bad day at all.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, speaking of the golf, I don't know how long ago it was. Recently saw a couple pictures of you with Bobby Clark and I believe Wade Allison on the links there.
Ratter, too. How was that?
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. Cool. How was that?
One of the coolest days of my life. Seriously, it was unreal. You know, we showed up. I think we were probably, all three of us were probably pretty quiet for the first, you know, 3-4 holes.
Yeah.
You know. Super nervous, right? Like,
of course. Just,
yeah. But anyways, as it went on, you know, we started talking more and whatever. And
he's the man.
We all kind of opened up, and then we stayed after for food, and we were with him for, I don't even know how many hours it would have been in total, probably like 7 hours in total. Yeah. And wow. Just he was telling stories, and it was so cool. And then we had to ask him. We were a little nervous, but we had to ask him for a picture after.
He got to.
Oh, you have to.
Spent 7 hours with the legend, Clark.
I know. He's Mr. Flyer. He is the man. He was. He made my 26 years possible, giving me my first job. And, you know, my dad's good buddies with him, worked with him for a long time. And funny thing about Clark, he played golf. My dad's a good golfer. He's 70 now, but he's still actually good. Pisses me off. I still can't beat him, but him and Clark used to play a lot together, and there are, you know, a little bit of money on the games, you know, on the round, and makes it more fun. And so Sudsy, my dad, everyone calls him Sudsy. He would, like, first 3 or 4 holes, say he gets up a couple, get up to like the next tee, and he'd be right just coming down his backswing, and Clark would go, "What a player." You know, right as he's going to hit the ball, and fuck, your dad would shank one. He'd be like, "Would you fuck off, Clarky?" You
know? Yeah.
But he's just such a ball breaker, and just a great guy, man. I was fortunate enough when I was a kid. I used to, like I said, I used to come up a lot, and I was friends with his son, Wade, and so I would usually stay one night. I'd spend a night with them one night or two nights, and that was pretty cool because I you know. When I was, I don't know, 10, 11, 12, he was still playing too. So it was kind of cool, you know, going to the Cherry Hill Mall and Bob Clark's with you, you know, it's just like, you're not getting anywhere.
No.
It was funny because his son Wade would, like, they'd drop us off sometimes and we'd walk around and like, it'd be a kid going, "Hey, this is Wade. He goes to school with me. That's Bobby Clark's son." And Wade would be like, "No, I'm not." No, not you know, because like it's amazing how the kid to come up to him. But Clark, he's the best. He's so awesome. I'm glad you got to do that because he's the man.
Yeah, something I'll never forget. I mentioned it to my dad after too, and he was pretty jealous. He thought it was, you know, yes. He was obviously thought it was unreal. So
yeah, throw a couple pops back with Clarky.
Potentially there might have been. There might have been a few after telling some stories, but a
couple silver bullets.
Oh man, he's got the stories, man. Wow.
Yeah, I actually I started the day with a birdie. It was par 4. I birdied the first hole and I was like, "Holy shit." Like, like, no way. Whatever. And then I proceeded to go like double bogey. But he was like kind of Mr. Clark was kind of hyping me up a little bit after the first hole, and I was like, "Yeah, let's go." And then the wheels went
downhill.
sounds like my game. My golf game. You should see Riley's golf game.
Oh, God, Nass, I knew you were going to bring it up.
Oh, my God.
Trials or what?
Oh, it's bad. It is bad. Every shot left into the bush.
I had it, Frosty. I had him aiming totally right to two holes to the right, and he started hitting them in our fairway. Once he did that, that's how big of a hook he has. He crushes it, though. He crushes it. And he makes good contact, but it's just
there's no accuracy.
We played last week in this tournament, and what was it, about 11 holes in? You're like, I don't really need to keep playing, do I? I'm like, fuck yeah, you got to keep playing. Like, what do you mean? He's like, I'm done. But he finished. He finished strong. He did all
yeah,
right.
I actually finished strong. It was probably like the best golf I've ever played. Not saying a whole lot. I only get out about 3 or 4 times a summer, so I give myself somewhat of an excuse.
It's not pretty.
It's not pretty, no. We have a good time, though. We laugh.
Yeah, it's always fun.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
That's all that matters.
Most important thing on the course, for sure.
Yeah. Not getting paid for it.
Well,
maybe we did last week.
Maybe we did that time. Frosty, so your first NHL game, I was there. I can say that. to this point in your career, your best moment, first game, first goal?
Yeah, I think so, for sure.
It's a sick goal.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah, that helped.
Sure. Yeah, highlight reel.
Wasn't a greasy one off my skate or anything. Yeah. I'll have that one in forever. But I think just that whole experience. They flew me up, went to Florida, and it was all. It just all kind of seemed to happen within like a two day span, and I was getting all these interviews and blah blah blah, and like
yeah.
Felt like, I was just like a star for a day, and then I scored that goal, and it was awesome for sure. And it's pretty special for me too. I think, the organization did a good job. They brought in my, my dad, my mom, my sister, and
that's awesome.
Yeah, so just to have them there for that moment was definitely pretty cool.
Yeah, we unfortunately didn't win the game. We didn't play that well, but it was 4-1 at the time, and you score that goal and literally gave the team life. I was like, but what a dirty goal. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Bob, what were you doing, Bob? He didn't know the mitts were coming. Backhand, top cheds, as Elvis would say, top titty.
I remember too, just speaking of, because I remember we were down in the game, but I was so like jacked up that I scored, and we got back on the bench. I was playing with TK and G at that point, and I couldn't stop like peeking my head up at the jumbotron, like
yeah,
stuff. And TK's like, I remember TK was like hitting me. He's like, "Come on, let's go! Like, focus on the next one." Blah blah blah. So I had to try and calm myself down after that.
Oh geez, I would
just wanted to see how good it really looked.
Oh, yeah,
it looks good
from a different perspective, right? Did you score in your second game too? Was it?
Yeah,
you did, right? Yeah,
yeah. And it was actually a shorthanded goal. It might be the only one, the first and last of my career.
right off the draw, right?
Yeah. So they had iced it, and there was like 3 seconds left in the penalty. So I got thrown out, and G won the faceoff back, and I scored right off the faceoff. And there was like 1 second left in the penalty, so it went down as a shorthanded goal.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Not a bad way to start your NHL career, first two games. Two snipes.
I know, right?
Oh.
Two snipes.
Yeah. Cooled off a bit after that, but it was probably like a 4 or 5 day stretch. So I felt like a rock star, obviously. So that was definitely the coolest moment I've had in my career.
That's awesome, man. Lot more coming, I have a feeling. I have a good feeling about that.
Yeah. And you're more of a passer, right? I mean, like, you look at your numbers and the way you play, like, you're more of a passer than a shooter, as it stands as a hockey player. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, pass first for sure. I think I've been trying to shoot more because I always have coaches telling me and shoot the puck, because sometimes I probably try and force a pass when I could get a shot on that. But I almost. Obviously, scoring a goal is, really nice, but I'm kind of one of those guys, like, if I make a really nice pass and set a guy up for a tap-in or something, it almost feels more rewarding to me to do that sometimes than to score for myself. So.
Yeah. Because I know, when you were drafted, I read a quote by Hexy. They traded Braden Schenn basically to pick you, and I think that the whole the scouting staff and the organization was in agreement that they wanted you, but you know, they talked about your intelligence and obviously your passing, and you know you're in a two-way forward, which you know usually when you think of a highly skilled guys, two-way forward doesn't come out of you know anybody's mouth, right? I mean, it's usually like this guy is like just 100% one-dimensionally offensive, and then usually that's like kind of learnt when they turn pro. But obviously Hexy and the scouting staff thought highly of you enough, obviously outside of your skills, that the two-way forward is a compliment, you know, especially at junior level. You don't hear that a whole lot, unless you're an obvious two-way player. But with 100 over 100 points 2 years in a row, it's usually not what you hear. But that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I was. I try. I think I probably had a decent amount of lazy moments on the defensive side in junior sometimes. But I've always kind of been labeled as more offensive on the scale, obviously. And I think you know I try and take pride in being reliable as a two-way player in general. And you know, I think that's what'll get you to stick in the NHL. You know, obviously there's some guys that can do whatever they want with the puck and are so skilled that they almost don't need to play defense sometimes. But I think if you can add that part into your game, then obviously gives you a much better chance of sticking. So
yeah, and junior level too, I mean, obviously you're playing like an abundance of minutes, right? I mean, you're like, you're just keep getting thrown out there and you're expecting to score and stuff. So like, as far as like energy goes, like you only have so much energy to give. And then obviously like it lands up coming short on the defensive side a lot of times, right? You see this a lot with offensive guys. It's just like, just the way it is, right? I mean, you can only do so much and you just like, maybe you just don't back check as hard because you just like don't have it in the tank. But I think as you evolve as a pro player, there's just more defined roles. And like in this year, like that ultimate offensive guy, which is a few of them that, you know, can maybe get away with a few shortcuts here and there, but you know, it's at that level, coaches aren't throwing you out there for 30 minutes a game either, you know, unless, you know, it's just the way it is. But, so it's not really a knock on you. It's probably more you just, had no energy a lot of the times to give that extra to come back and defend. Yeah.
We'll go with that.
Right. A pump your tires up a little bit there.
Yeah, for sure.
I know my last year, my last regular season game. So I actually got suspended for two games. So the fourth last game of the year, I got suspended, and then I got suspended for two games, and then there was one game left, and I think I was 5 points behind the leading point getter. There's one game left, and I think we had rested like two players or whatever, just because playoffs were coming up, but we already had a spot, and I was like, no, I'm definitely playing. I ended up playing like 29-30 that game or something.
Oh my god!
Yeah. I think I ended up with like one, maybe I had 2 points, but I was taking like
extremely long shifts.
Talk about no defense. I'd like to see the clips from that game. Great cherry picking.
It's a lot of minutes as a forward, man. Jeez,
that's a lot.
It was ridiculous.
Well, Frosty, man, we appreciate your time, man. I know it's tough in the middle of camp and everything, but we really do appreciate you coming on, man, and wish you nothing but the best and happy and healthy year and 100-point year, man.
Let's do it.
Let's do it, bro.
Set the bar high.
Like it's nothing. Yeah.
You got the skills.
Awesome.
Silky. Oh man, but seriously, we do appreciate you, man, taking the time out of your day for us, man. Thank you so much, brother.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's good to talk to you guys for sure.
Yeah, appreciate it, Frosty. Good luck the rest of the way. That episode was brought to you by SettlemeyerSkateSharpening.com for all your hockey necessities, the best grind in southern part of New Jersey.
For sure.
Visit Nasty at SettlemeyerSkateSharpening.com.
Come on over.
If you got pain, you got anxiety, sleep issues, check out BodyCheckWellness.com for all your hemp-derived CBD and functional mushroom needs. Nasty, I know you need it. You need it. Double
sleep.
Up.
Sleep.
Sleep is key. And a big thank you to our friend Silky Mitts.
Silky. Mr.
Morgan Frost for hopping on. Middle of training camp. We appreciate that. What a good dude.
Awesome kid.
Wish him nothing but the best here this year. Fresh start after a tough one last year for the team as well as himself personally. So now's the time to shine.
It is. I tell you, just from I've had three shoulder surgeries, and man, what a grind it is. I mean, obviously, I'm not having to do anything close to what he's doing, but just to get the mobility back, the range of motion. It's frustrating, man. I'm not the first person to have a surgery, but I know where he was coming from with it, man. You're stuck like this for a while and you finally get moving, but it hurts. It's a pain in the ass. And, you know, being a pro athlete, like he probably felt like this time was never going to come. Right. Like it's a long process. Even for me, I just couldn't wait to get out of the damn sling.
Oh yeah.
After my, you know, I went two summers in a row with surgery. Actually four shoulder surgeries, not three. But anyway, he looks really good. He looks strong. He's confident. I mean, he has his skills. His skill sets is awesome.
He's got some serious mitts. And as you mentioned on the surgery side of things, it as long as it was time wise for him from his last game to now, there is a silver lining in the sense that I know I've come back from some shoulder injuries back in the day, separations, not surgeries, but there's like this confidence issue of like going in the corners and like battling, you know what I mean? Cause you're like a little bit unsure. I think mentally he's way past that because it's like fully healed and some obviously. So,
right.
Yeah. There's a silver lining. He had a whole off season, and some to rehab and mentally prepare for training camp. So he's packed on a few LBs.
Yeah,
he's confident. Good. He's ready to rock, and it was nice to see him. And wish him nothing but the best with the Fly guys here. It's an interesting time of preseason, but the organization themselves, you get some fresh bodies in there and some young blood,
and I really enjoyed him watching the joy in his face talking about his dad. I think that was really cool.
Yeah, that was really cool.
That's awesome. And I remember obviously his game when he got called up and, you know, his family being able to come. So, man, what a goal too. I know we said that already, but man, the kids got skills.
Yeah.
He's
can't say skills. I ever scored a goal quite like that. From the goal line, backhand cheese over the shoulder. It's
behind you, Bob.
Yeah. Yeah, out of my repertoire, but
not a bad goalie to score on either.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Deceiving little fella.
Go into the net with confidence like that. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, but to even attempt to think about trying that.
I know, right? I hope he has many, many more of those in the black and orange because he's a hell of a kid and a hell of a player. So,
no doubt. Let's go. Well, that's a wrap, folks. Episode 43 in the books. Be sure to tune in next week for episode 44. Got a couple big dogs coming up. Exciting podcast recording this week. So be sure to tune in next week. And until then, stay safe. See you then, knuckleheads.
See you, knuckleheads.